Track 2, Understanding Trust, Need, Help, and Hurry.
It's important that you realize how similar selling situations really are. It doesn't really matter what type of person you are working with. Once a sale begins, every prospective buyer goes into a mindset that's the same. They don't want to be sold. Even if they have an immediate need, they'll usually have a high degree of resistance, a fear of getting taken to the cleaners, or of being had. It's a natural reaction nearly every human being has to a selling situation. They have their defenses up and are skeptical of anything you say or do. After all, they know you have a stake in the outcome. During the course of time we spend with each potential client, we must keep one thing always in the forefront of our minds. The prospective clients are evaluating every piece of information we dole out with one single question. That question is, what's in it for me? They need to evaluate the benefit to them of investing their time with you to learn about your product or service. Then, they need to see the benefit of owning the product or service. And, rest assured, they'll get bored quickly and move on to something or someone else if you're not answering that key question throughout your entire presentation. The beauty of the Sell It Today system is that it helps you show them exactly what's in it for them every step of the way with benefits they'll tell you they want to own. Yes, by using this system properly, they'll tell you what they want to have, and you'll eliminate many of the standard objections along the way. In other words, they'll agree to so much, little by little, that there'll be no way that they can say no when you reach the culmination of your presentation, which is the final close. The system works no matter how you met the potential client. If you initiated the selling process upon meeting someone at a business gathering, or made a cold call from a list, or went knocking on doors, your potential clients are likely to be as cold as ice. They won't believe that they have a need for your product or service, or for you, for that matter. They won't trust you either, because they don't know you and may never have heard of your company. They want to go about what they were doing before you got involved in their lives. In other words, they're in a sales-resistant mode. If the potential client initiated the sale by calling your business, stopping by your location, or answering an advertisement, they may not have as strong a defense barrier. By initiating the contact, they at least have some curiosity or some trust in your brand or product or service. Or they may have a true and immediate need. However, there will still be a certain degree of sales resistance. Much of the resistance we, as sales professionals, encounter is generated by fears created in past buying situations. Rather than admit that a poor decision was made, an unhappy buyer often shifts the burden of fault to the salesperson, who supposedly talked them into buying or made them take the product. It's so hard for most people to admit when they've made a mistake in a buying situation that they often take this route when having to explain their purchase to others. Having been in sales since 1963, I have to tell you that I've never seen a salesperson rope a buyer into a chair, tie a pin in his or her hand, pull someone's wallet out of their pocket and take money, but that's the way the general public believes salespeople behave, though not in the literal sense. Now, I know there have been unscrupulous salespeople out there and what we call con artists who have presented products that were not real or have taken money and not delivered. However, most consumers, whether purchasing for themselves or their companies, are pretty savvy about realizing early in the presentation when a salesperson is not on the up and up. Today's consumers usually do their homework before considering a purchase of any kind. They read up on the products, they compare brands, they talk to friends, business associates, and neighbors, and they raise their guard as soon as they get within 100 feet of you or before you can even answer their ring on the telephone. If you've done any cold calling by phone, I'm sure you've witnessed the change in the tone of voice of the person on the other end when they realize you're a salesperson. First, they answer the phone professionally. If it's a business you're calling, or warmly if you're calling someone at home, Then as soon as they realize it's a sales call, they often switch to an abrupt tone and the words, "No thanks," as they hang up on you. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't care to have that effect on people. That's why I've dedicated my life to the profession of selling. I learned many years ago that what you say doesn't matter half as much as how and when you say it. Being a student of the profession, I've watched and learned from both some of the best and some of the worst salespeople around. With this revolutionary system, you'll learn a specific sequence to follow to reduce the sales resistance we've talked about by building trust and uncovering their need for your product or service. Then we'll take them all the way to sales acceptance by showing how you, your company, and your product can help them, followed by 5 simple steps that make them want to hurry to own it today. What I've just described are the 4 keys to success in any selling situation and the foundation of the Sell It Today system: trust, need, help, and hurry. Let me repeat those 4 words: trust, need, help, and hurry. These 4 words and the questions they bring to your customer's mind control every sales situation. I like to think of those 4 words as hurdles that are common to every sale, hurdles that we as sales professionals must clear in order to achieve the goal of serving their needs. Those 4 hurdles are as constant as the sun rising and setting each day. And the best news is that they never appear in more than 2 configurations. In a situation where you initiate the sale, in other words, you make the contact, you make the call, you begin the sales process, you contact them, those 4 hurdles will appear in the order of trust, need, help, and hurry. In a prospect-initiated sale where they contact you or your company, the first 2 hurdles will change order. They'll appear as need, trust, help, and hurry. Let's cover the hurdles first in the context of a sale you initiated. The first element of the Sell It Today system is trust. Initially, the potential client with whom you initiate contact is thinking, "I feel no trust." People won't let you persuade them into anything if they don't trust you. So you must work toward helping them think, "I feel some trust with this person, this product, or this company." The second element is need. They're also thinking, "I feel no need." Your goal as a one-call closer is to help them change their mindset to one of, "I feel some need." You have to help them recognize and admit there is a need. The third element is help. Being the independent sorts we all are, prospects also initially think, "I want no help." No one ever wants to admit they're helpless, of course. However, you can certainly help someone see that you can provide answers in areas where they may not be as informed as you are. After all, you are a trained professional in your field. You are constantly kept abreast of new developments in products and services. So you need to change their mindset to one of, "I want some help," and to recognize you as just the expert to provide it. The fourth element of the Sell It Today system is hurry. We've all been told it's not wise to make any decisions in haste. So in the beginning of a selling situation, most people also say to themselves, "I feel no hurry." Unless there's water running uncontrollably at their home, no one is going to be in a hurry to purchase plumbing supplies. Your job is to help them see that by taking care of the buying decision today, they'll be better off than if they wait. They need to think, "I feel some hurry," in order to take action. All sales are controlled by trust, need, help, and hurry. It is extremely important that you learn how these 4 very specific words help define your potential client's sales resistance. They constitute the primary barrier between no sale and a sale. They're the main line of defense used by every potential client. They will keep you from providing the prospective client the very product or service they agreed to talk over with you and need the most. These 4 words are powerful enough to keep your future client from making a purchase right now. And right now is the time frame that concerns us most. As a professionally trained salesperson, it is your duty to overcome the barriers put up by these 4 words. Mastery over trust, need, help, hurry will allow you to alter the prospect's mindset, thus helping him or her make a decision that's truly good for them, and to make that decision today. You might wonder what the difference would be if the customer contacted you first by calling or walking into your place of business. It would seem that they have at least some degree of acceptance, wouldn't it? The answer is yes and no. Yes, the customer is probably interested in the product or service you offer, and no, that doesn't mean he's interested one bit in your specific brand, your company, or your sales presentation, or in owning it. He or she could just be researching to determine if the product or service is something worth their time, effort, and investment. In that case, the order of hurdles would be need, trust, help, and hurry. Now, let me say that again. In that case, the order of hurdles would be need, trust, help, and hurry. You would have to establish what their need was first, then build trust and confidence in your ability to help them today. Each of the barriers put before you by the potential client are fear-based. Most of their reflexive fears have been brought about by bad past experiences or horror stories from friends, relatives, or associates. Let's talk about those fears so you'll learn to recognize them and handle them most effectively. The most common fears are these. Number one is fear of you. This is a trust issue. You are a salesperson. Your buyer believes it's your job to get them to walk out of your store with as much stuff as possible, or to agree to purchase the biggest and best product for their needs. So your first job is to help them recognize that you're not all that different from them. You're a regular person. You shop too. You understand and have walked in their shoes. But even better, you're someone who is dedicated to helping others make decisions that are good for them. Adopt an attitude of servitude, and people will like you, trust you, and want to listen to you. And when that happens, you'll be amazed how easy the sales process flows and how wonderful the closing of the sale actually is. Try thinking of yourself as an educator. Your job is to help other people gain enough information, enough understanding about your product or service to determine its value to them. You're just a guide on the course they've chosen to investigate your product or service. Of course, as a guide, you have walked this trail before, and you know both the beauty and the pitfalls that await your clients. In leading them down the path towards ownership, you can share stories of other satisfied clients, as well as some features and benefits of ownership that they may not have expected. Their second fear is the fear of being lied to, and this is another common fear based on having no trust. Have you ever had someone tell you a product would do this or that, and later found out that it wouldn't, or that it would, but it was very difficult? If you haven't, you've probably at least heard of someone who has had this experience. The bottom line is that you feel you were taken advantage of by someone or lied to. When a client asks a very specific question about whether or not your product or service can answer a specific need, address that need as a key element in your demonstration. Make sure they know you were paying attention to that specific need. If the product satisfies their biggest concern better than expected, closing the sale just became a whole lot easier. Never attempt to close a sale unless you know for certain that their number one challenge is resolved by the product. The third fear is related to need, and it's the fear of incurring debt. Debt is one of the worst four-letter words in the English vocabulary, yet our society makes it so easy to get into it that many of us have overextended ourselves, then been forced to tighten our belts to get out of it. Or we've been embarrassed by the amount of debt we carried. So we want to avoid incurring debt unless we can rationalize the decision as providing more value than the detriment of the debt. If you're in any type of industry where return on investment can be calculated, have those figures at hand for every potential client. If you don't have the figures, at least have letters from existing clients who are so happy they made the decision to own. The fourth fear, also related to need, is the fear of losing face. This is where embarrassment comes into play even more so. It's bad enough to have made a poor decision, but when that decision is known and looked down upon by others, perhaps our bosses, we have lost faith. We feel our superiors have lost confidence in us. It's a feeling no one wants to experience more than once. Always keep in mind that you need to make them look good for having made a decision to get involved with you, your product or service. In many selling situations, you'll need to build up their confidence and their own decision-making abilities before going for the actual decision. Consider including a brief recap of all the new information the potential client has gained as part of your presentation to show how much they've learned. Some fears fall under the help hurdle. One is the fear of making a mistake. Every one of us has made a poor buying decision at some time or another. We purchased something we later regretted owning. Because of that situation, there's now an ingrained fear of making that mistake again. Assure your clients that you are only interested in their best interests, a solution that is truly good for them. And last but not least, something we as professionals can quickly overcome in the area of help is fear of the unknown. It's normal to fear the unknown. That's why as sales professionals, it's our responsibility to help our potential clients learn everything they need to know about our products and services. Hopefully, they'll learn enough to see the value of owning our offering. Wise teachers include many questions in their lessons to get students thinking about how the new knowledge can be applied. Do the same and you'll find yourself with many satisfied clients. I'll cover specific questioning strategies and give examples as we unfold the Sell It Today system for you in the rest of this program. To help you get a clearer picture of how the system works, visualize two thermometers. And you'll see there are two thermometers in your workbook with this program. We're going to mark the thermometers in 10-degree increments from 0 degrees to 100 degrees. The first thermometer represents sales resistance. At the beginning of every sales contact, the potential client is likely to be at 100 degrees of sales resistance. In fact, he or she could be near the boiling point of resistance at 100 degrees, especially if you initiated the contact through a cold call. So their thermometer would be filled to the top with sales resistance. Even with a prospect-initiated sale, where they originated the contact, there will be that resistance to you, specifically whether or not you'll treat them right and truly be able to help them. So always assume that the degree of resistance you face at the first moment of meeting someone is right up there, pegging out at or near 100 degrees. Don't ever assume otherwise. The only advantage you have if their resistance is lower to begin with is you'll be able to go through your sales resistance process a bit more quickly. It doesn't mean, though, that you can skip any steps in the sequence. If you stick to the system, your results will be fairly predictable. If you don't, whatever you leave out can keep you from moving on to building sales acceptance and closing the sale. The system reduces pressure a little at a time, so it's comfortable for both you and the potential client. Any missteps or steps taken out of order will have the opposite effect of what you want. You will raise their level of resistance higher. The situation could easily bubble over the top and never allow you the opportunity to even present your product or service as a solution. Your primary focus in reducing sales resistance is to begin lowering the temperature as soon as you meet them. We'll break each area of the system down into smaller, appropriate steps as this program progresses. Just understand the concept for now. The fun part of selling is that if you give your prospect half a chance, he or she will help you lower their sales resistance through their reactions to your actions. Remember, down inside, they really want your product or service, or they wouldn't have made or agreed to the contact in the first place. Selling is just a matter of helping people to realize, then rationalize that deep inside them is an alter ego that wants everything. They want the latest, the newest, the biggest, the most high-tech of whatever it is you're selling. Only self-control that comes from experience keeps them from saying, "Here's my credit card, box it all up, have it to my house in an hour." You must be aware, though, if you apply undue, sudden pressure, they'll get nervous. Their fears will take over their thoughts, and your customers will seek relief elsewhere. They will bubble over, head out the nearest exit, cross the street, and enter the comfort zone at your competitor's place of business. Customers don't visit your showroom or call your 800 number to feel uncomfortable. See to it that they feel relaxed and comfortable and right at home immediately by lowering the temperature as soon as possible. Experience has proven that no one invests their money in anything unless they are relaxed and somewhat comfortable. If you slowly but surely, degree by degree, reduce the customer's sales resistance, you'll close more sales in a shorter time period than ever before. Never forget this now. People buy from people they like and trust, and the more you build rapport and trust, the more willing they will be to make the purchase. You must be careful not to get ahead of yourself in any selling situation. You can't start the sales process in earnest until you finish reducing sales resistance. They won't listen to any advice you have to offer if they're still resistant to the idea of being sold. Now, another important point to understand is this. As you reduce sales resistance, you are, in effect, creating an empty space, a vacuum, if you will. And nature won't allow a vacuum. When we remove sales resistance, we have to fill that vacuum we've created with something positive. Otherwise, resistance could easily slip back in. With this system, we'll be replacing that negative with a positive, and that positive will be sales acceptance. That's the second thermometer we're going to be working with, the one for sales acceptance. At the beginning of the sales situation, how much sales acceptance do you think the client has? The answer is normally none or very little. They are close to or at 0 degrees of sales acceptance. This thermometer would show no reading. Therefore, your goal is to convert 100 degrees of negative into 100 degrees of positive. Degree by degree, you increase the sales acceptance temperature until you have a favorable climate for a win-win close. And you don't have to use high pressure to do it. This slow but steady, soft approach may seem foreign if you're used to a more hard charger approach, but this approach works phenomenally well. We've all heard the theory that there are no true opposites in the universe. For example, at what point does black become white? At what temperature does cold switch over to hot? At what decibel does quiet become loud? Instead of clearly defined lines, the universe is made up of degrees of change. Black and white are merely two ends of the same spectrum separated by degrees of change. Changing sales resistance to sales acceptance is the same. Degree by degree, we help our customer make that transition. No sale soon becomes sold. So you have your sales resistance thermometer reading 100 degrees and your sales acceptance thermometer at 0 degrees. Your goal is to switch the two of them. You must reduce sales resistance by about 10 degrees at a time until you get it down to zero. Then and only then will you work on increasing sales acceptance from its starting point of 0 degrees, again by 10-degree increments, to 100 degrees of acceptance, which results in a closed sale. The power of this system is that there is a very specific reason for applying each 10-degree reduction step in the order it is taught. Please remember throughout this training the value of the word sequence. As with anything relating to temperature, it's not wise to decrease or increase too quickly. Either of those situations can cause challenges for those experiencing the change. And you cannot reduce the temperature from 50 degrees to 40 degrees until you've already come down the other increments from 100 degrees. The principles in this system are psychologically sound, and each step in the sequence builds on the prior step in a logical manner to break down sales resistance and to increase sales acceptance. Another point, you would never try to increase sales acceptance before reducing sales resistance. It would be a waste of everyone's time and would not result in a sale. It would result in a stall or conflict within the potential client to where they would simply choose not to make any decision today. The first 50 degrees of our sales resistance thermometer are reduced by building the element of trust. It's essential that the potential client comes to trust you, your brand, and the product or service you offer. Trust is the foundation upon which everything else is built, especially in a situation where you initiated the sale. You started the process. Now, as you look at your thermometer, you'll notice that the lower 50 degrees of sales resistance involve the element of need. Determining the client's need, specifically for the type of product you offer, is part of your qualification sequence. Studies have proven that this is the area that separates the average salesperson from the top salesperson. Those who earn the highest income in sales have honed the skills required to establish need to the point where it has become reflexive. Low-income earners either skip this step in the sequence or go at it half-heartedly, not truly understanding its power. Skipping or not effectively covering this step makes room for challenges in the steps that follow. Why would anyone want to lay traps for themselves, making it more difficult to get deeper into the presentation? If all the steps are followed in proper sequence, each one becomes easier than the last. On the sales acceptance thermometer, the lower 50 degrees, where you start building towards the close, are where you demonstrate your ability and desire to help each person. This is where you persuade them that you and your company can offer an excellent solution for the challenge or need that has been established. The final top 50 degrees of the sales acceptance thermometer are where you create the sense of urgency. Make them want to hurry, to own your product or service. This is when you're heading for the barn. They've been convinced of your offering. It's just a matter of when and how they'll own it. Both of those areas are covered again in sequence. So it becomes natural for the client to make the final decision today, right now. So let me do a little recap. The overall picture of the Sell It Today system includes two thermometers. One represents sales resistance. The other represents sales acceptance. Each represents two elements of the system. Sales resistance is broken down by the elements of trust and need, while sales acceptance is developed with help and hurry. To simplify the process, we'll break each element into 50 degrees and show how to move those thermometers 10 degrees at a time in a systematic manner that culminates in a closed sale.